Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you gave me words to say to these folks today. You gave me a message, Lord, but they don't need to hear from me. They need, Lord, to hear from you. So I ask that you speak through me, that you prepare our hearts to hear what it is that you have for us, and that you would change us, Lord, so that we can go out today and do what it is you would have us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated, of course. Good morning. So today is the first day of the first Sunday of the season of Epiphany, which runs from now until the beginning of Lent. And on January 6th, which was Friday, which was also the 12th day of Christmas, was the Feast of Epiphany, also known as Three Kings, the Feast of Three Kings. And these things commemorate the manifestation of Jesus Christ. They commemorate his appearing to us. And not only his appearing as the incarnate man that he was, but his divinity. The affirmation that he was the Son of God. And this Epiphany is one of the oldest festivals. It's one of the three major festivals in our religion, the other two being Easter and Christmas. And today, we focus mainly on the baptism of Jesus. And I'm going to ask some of the standard questions that everyone asks whenever you go through the baptism of Jesus. Why did Jesus need to be baptized? What did it mean that the dove ascended, or the Spirit ascended in bodily form, like a dove? What does it mean that the heavens were ripped open? And what does it mean that God said, "This is my Son, in him I'm well pleased"? And then after that, I'm going to ask a question. So what does that mean for us? What does that mean for our baptism? What do we do in response? So why did Jesus need to be baptized? In verse 14, John says, or it says that John would have prevented him from being baptized. Jesus came to the Jordan from Galilee to be baptized. And John the Baptist said, "I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me." But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so, so that all righteousness is fulfilled." See, Jesus didn't need to be baptized. He was already perfect. He lived a perfect life. He was tempted in every way, and yet without sin. But he came to be baptized by John. John was baptizing a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. He was telling the people, and lots of different kinds of people, not just Jews, but Gentiles also, came to him to be baptized. And it was a public act, a public show of repentance, a turning away from their sins. And who comes to be baptized but people who know that they've sinned? People who know that they need to. That's why John said, "You brood of vipers, who warned you?" Because they really didn't think that they needed it. But soldiers came, Gentiles. And then now Jesus. But why? He kept the law perfectly. He honored his father and mother. He kept all the festivals. all the feast days, all the Sabbath days. But now he's here to be baptized. He's there to be baptized to identify with other sinners. Let that sink in for a second. Not only did he come and put on our sinful flesh, but then he came and identified himself with us as one of us, even though he is not. And that's when the heavens are ripped open. In our gospel passage today, the word for the heavens open is just open. But in Mark's gospel, in Mark verse 1, or chapter 1, the Greek word is schizo, and it means torn open, rended, torn asunder. And it's also the same word used when the veil in the temple is torn from top to bottom. So we see this idea of the heavens opening up, that we have access now to the Holy of Holies. And the dove, the Spirit of God, descends like a dove and rests on Jesus. And the Father says, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." I think this is the only place in Scripture where we see all three members of the triune God, all three members of the Godhead in one place. Might want to pay attention, I think. To fulfill all righteousness. This baptism, it's a universal means of grace. The temple and the sacrificial system was also, the law was a means of grace by which we could, or the Israelites could, approach a holy God. Now, practically, we can understand having our bodies cleaned, the normal everyday uses of water to quench our thirst, to refresh us. But in the ancient Near East, in the olden days, or as we say, back in the day, the water represented chaos and destruction. So water, in a sense, would mean judgment. And there's lots of stories where Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat and everyone's afraid, or when Noah, he's in a storm and, "Hey, wait a minute, what are you doing here?" And they throw him overboard because they're all afraid. But see, in Genesis, the Spirit hovered over the waters. He hovered over that chaos and he brought order. God, when he created the world, brought order. And it's the same thing when that dove descended on Jesus. He's bringing order and peace. And I think Mark said it in his prayer. He brings peace. He brings us back together. Jesus took the Hebrews through the wilderness, across the Red Sea on dry ground, and the Israelites also crossed the Jordan into the Promised Land. These are all water judgments that Jesus brought us through, or people through, safely to the other side. And for us, Jesus went down into death, and he rose again, so we no longer have to fear death. Now, we're all still going to die. But now we have certainty because of this example of baptism, that we can go down into death, into that water, and we can come up safely on the other side. And when we close our eyes to sleep. And I know this hits home for a lot of people right now because of people in this congregation that have lost folks even in the last few weeks or few months. We don't have to fear what happens on the other side. We can have certainty. Because Jesus already went there. And Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. He identified with us in our sinfulness, not by sinning, but by taking on our flesh, making himself like us. He made himself subject to death, which he never was before. He was in eternity past. He's eternal. He was with the Father and the Holy Spirit always. And he was made the perfect sacrifice for us through his suffering. It wasn't that he wasn't perfect before that, but now he's perfect because none of us, no matter what it is that we go through, no matter what it is that we face, none of us can say, well, he doesn't get it. He doesn't understand. Because he does. Because he's been there. And I think Mark said it also. He did everything. He did everything so that we don't have to. And that's what we have if we're baptized. So where do we go from there? I think I want to ask the question, don't you want other people to be baptized? Don't you want other people to know that they're adopted children of God, that they're chosen by God, that they're safe even if they die? And this isn't one of my like rants about evangelism, and you need to all go out and share your testimony. Whatever your gift is, pray for people. I mean, I have to ask myself, when is the last time I actually cried out for somebody? Like, Lord, please. Or when was the last time that I actually was embarrassed or felt like I might get embarrassed because I was going to say something to somebody? You know, I'll sit at a restaurant, and the waitress, one of the waitresses that always waits on me, she always says, she says, Tony, why do you always tell me about this stuff? You know, I think she was wearing an Iron Maiden t-shirt. Yeah. And Iron Maiden was one of my first concerts ever. And so I said, hey, that was the first concert I ever went to when I was in seventh grade. And I have some friends that still go, your parents dropped you off and picked you up, you know, at an Iron Maiden concert. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. But their drummer is actually a born-again Christian. Like, they're still playing, and there's a YouTube video of him going around his drum kit, and he's like, well, I'm a born-again Christian, and I have, he has crosses, and then it's like a Japanese motif. And I guess what they used to do in Japan is they would have crosses, but then they would like stick a boot on it so that it would get through the customs. So he has like little crosses with little Buddhas. But I told her, I said, you know, the drummer Nico McBrain, you know, he's a born again Christian. And she goes, why do you always tell me this? And I didn't say anything. And then I came back and I said to her, I go, you ask me why I tell you this? I said, because I love you. And you're a terrible person and you need Jesus. But we can all relate to that. You know, and one of the things about our baptism, what did Luther say? He said, remember your baptism. When you're tempted, remember your baptism. And the devil likes nothing more. He doesn't even have to get us to sin. He just has to tempt us. And most of us are guilt-stricken and overwhelmed just by the temptation. Instead of turning it and saying, no, I'm just being tempted right now. I'm going to take care of that. Lord, help me. But in our temptation, and when we do sin, we remember our baptism, we go back. And if you're baptized as a child, every time someone new gets baptized, you can renew your baptismal vows. Just like if you're married, when you go to a wedding, it's a chance to renew. And honestly, I think it's one of the ways I've been stayed married for 19 years, is at weddings, I'm like, yeah, I'm reminded, you know, probably once a year at least, of the vows that I made almost 20 years ago that I, you know, didn't know what I was getting into. But the Lord's definitely kept us together. Yeah, thank you. And another question for us as a church is, are we bringing in new converts? Are we baptizing new people? I mean, that's part of the life of the church. Like, how do we get that charge? How do we get that new excitement, the filling of the Holy Spirit, unless there are new believers? I mean, that's how churches grow. That's how church plants grow, is by bringing in new converts. And again, not a rant about evangelism. I can do that another time. But invite a friend. You know, there are definitely people out there that are looking. You know, I've talked to some people. They're like, what do you want to plant a church for? We got enough churches. And I'm like, because there's still how many people? How many people in Ambridge? I think when we had a church plant in Mount Washington, there were something like 9,000 unchurched people. Like, we did some kind of demographic study. I don't remember what the exact number is, so don't hold me to that. But it was like 9,000 people never went to church. You know, some of y'all, like whenever you were growing up, you can kind of count on the fact that people just went to church. It's not the case nowadays. So how are we bringing them in? And how are we telling them, well, yeah, you get baptized, this is what we do. You know, it's not strictly out of obedience, but it's again, it's a means of grace, just like our Eucharist, just like our communion. It's a means. It's something practical. And isn't it great that God comes to us in ways that we can understand? Oh, I understand water. Oh, I understand bread and wine. I mean, if he came to us in ways he could understand, we wouldn't we wouldn't get it. But he comes to us in those simple ways. We can't sugarcoat it. We're baptized into the life of Christ, but we're also baptized into his death and into his suffering. So we can't be people that say, yeah, follow Jesus. It's going to be great. It's going to be easy. Because it's not. When I got received into the Anglican Church, I needed to get a baptismal certificate. So I went back to the Orthodox Church I grew up in, and you know, the guy said, hey, I can't find one, but I see your family's name on different things, and I know that you probably were here, so I just made you up a new one. And he goes, and I put it on Polycarp's feast day. And if you guys know who Polycarp is, he was one of the Apostle John. He was one of his disciples who was martyred. He was burned at the stake, and I'm like, man, why you got to do that to me? Can't you put it on like a day where nothing happened? So remember your baptism. I asked a bunch of questions. I don't think I answered all of them. Remembering our baptism connects our past to the present. And I've been thinking a lot about the word legacy as of late. Because you see anybody on TV, and this is non-believers. Politicians especially are great for this. This bill, that's that person's legacy. That's what they leave behind. Not just whenever they leave office, but when they die. Everything is behind them. But that's not us. Everything that we have is ahead of us. And even when we get to heaven, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we'll have no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun. And the increase of his government will have no end. So it's always, I don't know what that means. I don't know if he's going to just keep creating and creating and creating. But whatever it is, there's anticipation. We have a future and a hope. So I don't have to leave anything behind. You know, I played hockey in college, and it was like, leave it all out there. Leave it all out there. You know, my coach was, I played defense. He said, if you're not hurt when you come back into the locker room, you're not doing it right. And I took it to heart, and I ended up, what's that? Yeah. But leave it out there. Jesus came, and he was spent for us. Completely, totally, everything he had. If you guys saw if you guys watched Chosen, I'm waiting to start season three, waiting for Celia to catch up on the first couple seasons. But the one where he's healing people, the disciples are hanging out around the fire, and they're kind of bickering over stuff that really doesn't matter a whole lot. And Jesus is just like pouring everything he has. He's healing every person, healing every person. He comes back and he's like, he did that in eternity past. He did that in his life. And he did that when he went to the cross. And we can remember our baptism. We can renew our vows when other people can get baptized. We can renew every Sunday. That's why I love coming to get communion. It's like a restart. It's like, whew, thank you, Lord, for these gifts and these holy mysteries that you're assuring me I'm a living member of the body of your Son. And because Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, We can renew those vows every day. We can say every morning, Lord, here I am. I believe that you died for me. I renounce Satan. Whatever I did yesterday, I know you forgave me. I'm going to move ahead. Who else around you? Even Christians, like we Christians need to be preaching the gospel to one another. Need to tell others, hey, remember your baptism. No, don't. That's not you. That's not how God sees you. Remember your baptism. You're adopted. You're a child of God. Period. So who needs that message today? There's a lot. There's a lot of people. Start with one. Amen.